entering into one of the most tremendous seasons that we could. For the next 3 weeks after this Sunday, we're going to be dealing with the hindrances that's trying to keep us from winning the battle. Each one of us in life are assigned forces of darkness that fight against us ever from birth. Some, even prior to birth, the enemy tries to launch battles through inheritances and things that the enemy tries to build against your life. And all through life, we go about not realizing what normal really is. I mean, what I'm telling you, you may be 90% normal in a lot of areas, but the area that the devil's moved in on and put a point of bondage in your life, in a moment of time, you can begin to respond to the enemy instead of responding to God. And what we're going to do for the next 3 weeks, we're going to get cleaned up. Amen. We're going to get cleaned up and cleared out. And we're just going to get free. To where we can finally come to the place to live the life that God intended us to live. Lonnie and Karina, this morning, I just want to praise God for yesterday. Oh, I love what was moving and playing and preaching and singing on this lot yesterday. The wonderful culture of people that we deeply love and just deeply embrace. Stand up. These are our Spanish pastors, and they had a host of people here yesterday. Man, people were gathered here, and what I heard was not only the impact on this lot, but the impact on this town. As the wonderful Spanish culture, loving Jesus, moved out into the town areas and just brought wonderful responses from the Lord. So I'm just so thankful for you guys. Man, I love you. They'll be preaching Spanish church right here this afternoon. Praise God. So the Lord's doing. Well, we have to realize that what's taking place now in the physical, I don't care what you call them, Harvey, Irma, or what. Those things are not of God. You can see the moving and the working of the enemy in those situations. Your God is never involved in destruction. He's never involved in death, defeat, depression, fear. Those are atmospheres that are contrary to the atmosphere of heaven. And what God has called us to do is to be a little bit of heaven before we get there. Can you say amen? Or to experience a little bit of heaven. And so anything that you can't find in heaven becomes opposition to your life here. Because even in the Lord's Prayer, we're to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the will of God that the atmosphere of heaven come first into your life. And then be able to spread into your family. And then to be able to spread into the community of a church. And then to be able to affect an entire area for the glory of God. Amen. Those that are prophetic here, you understand a little bit. If you're not prophetic, it may be a little far and you may think I'm really weird. But I spoke to you here some time ago and tell them that there has been a gathering of demonic powers. You may not know it. You may be thinking you're fighting your neighbor's dog. But the devil tells you not to fight flesh and blood. The Bible says as a spiritual person, our eyesight, not this eyesight, but this eyesight, eyes of your heart become open and you become aware of things that normal people are not aware of. And so the Bible tells us not to fight as mere man, what the Bible says, not to look as mere man, but to look through the eyes of the Spirit that God has put on the inside of us. And the word of the Lord tells us not to fight against flesh and blood. So I don't care who's causing you their problem. There is an entity that's behind that, that you need to launch your anger and your fight against, and never against people. But the Bible says that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. That is speaking of levels of authority, of demon strategies that are built up against believers' life. And so many times in the physical, you can literally see what's taking place in the spiritual. A lot of times the symptom of the physical just lets you know that something's going on in the spiritual. This morning, there's a tremendous wind that's turning. It's beyond history. It's beyond our history, our recorded history, for this nation to be undergoing the siege that it's undergoing from the physical elements of this earth. But I believe it's just speaking to us a higher word, that there is a spiritual moving of the enemy that God is trying his best to let the church be aware of. That there is a coming together of winds and forces. They call that the perfect storm. Well, what they call the perfect storm is when things come together. Well, I want you to know the enemy is coming together to fight against your life. And what you've got to realize that as a believer, that you're not called to an easy chair, but you are called to a place of victory. And God has called you to a place of battle. And God has called you, whatever it is that you can name, whatever it is that you're fighting, God wants you to win there. And God wants to help you and strengthen you and empower you and put the right weapons in your hand to help you to win that battle. Anytime that you begin to succumb to thoughts of defeat and discouragement, I want you to know those are plants of the enemy to steal your faith away. So if you're going to see God win in the areas that's fighting against your life, and they come in every arena of life, from physical health to financial to relationship to marriage harmony. They come in all, so I don't care, they come in all these different, but you got to see that thing as an enemy that is sent from hell to destroy you. But I'm here to tell you, if you can see it as the enemy, you can also see God that's for you. And I'm here to tell you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, for the glory of God. Amen. So we're going to talk about some principles this morning. I'm going to finish up an arena to set the place for where we're going to walk for the next 3 weeks of God clearing things out of our life. God clearing us so that we can hear correctly. Everybody say hear correctly. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but you can see it, like I said, in the physical elements of this earth. The level of demonic warfare has moved up some notches. The warfare against your life has moved up some notches. We've got to move up some notches. One of the worst things to have in the midst of warfare to think you know what to do. If you think you know how to handle it, you don't know. Because God has first got to reveal, as we have been facing higher levels, God's got to bring our knowledge, our strength, our info of God's power. God's got to bring us up into a higher level to be able to deal with the degree of the level of the enemy that's been sent against us. Somebody says, you're dreaming. No, I read the Bible. The Bible said that in the last days, and if you didn't know it, we are there right now, that the enemy will come down, talking about Satan, Lucifer, he will come down. The Bible describes it with great wrath, great rage, great strategy against you and your life. Jesus revealed the thief as the one that's going to try to steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. And the enemy has come down with this great wrath to destroy your life. What gives the devil the greatest enjoyment is to destroy one of us. You got to understand that spirit that was in Hitler, that spirit that's raging in Korea this morning, that spirit is not a normal spirit. That thing is the rage of the enemy. Why people can find great joy in the death of innocent people. When you see things like that take place, you know that there's a high level of demonic power that's behind that thing, that's conspiring that thing. Amen. So we've just got to know the things that we're facing, this level that we're in physical areas. I mean, it would not be a surprise to wake up any morning and to find out that the lunatic, not him, but that spirit that's behind him, I'm calling the lunatic, had launched atomic bombs even against this nation. But I tell you what, we have a covering. Somebody shout, we got a covering. We've got, if you've got a God, stand up and shout, you've got a God. You've got a God. You've got a Lord. You've got one. You've got one that will fight for you, with you, through you. Somebody say, I'm a winner. I'm going to win through Jesus. I'm going to win through Jesus. This battle that's come against me is not going to destroy me. I'm going to win through Jesus. Hallelujah. Now give him another shout and sit down. Praise the Lord. Oh, God's good. Now, the book of Joel speaks to this season. It's the last day book. The book of Joel is written to the last times. Gary and I just welcome you back from God's country. Gary just returned from Israel. Let's welcome Gary back. It's just so good to have you back home. He just returned from Israel. He goes there every few weeks and works over there for a few weeks. And so up front, he's able to see and working in defense department. So he's able to see what for firsthand some of the things probably that I'm speaking about. In Joel chapter 3, verse 9 is this scripture. It's being the last day. It says, say to the nations, what is the message that's God trying to say in the last day? He says, get ready for war. That's the message. You may be trying to prepare your life for something else, but that's not what God's telling you. The book of Joel, speaking to the last day events, that's what he says. Across this whole, every nation, this is his message. Get ready for war. Call out your best warriors, or call out your seasoned warriors. And that's what I'm looking for this morning, along with there's at least 2 degrees of us that are here. They're untrained, and then there's trained warriors. Trained warriors has nothing to do with how long you're alive. It means you have faced battles through the power of God before. And you have been trained. There's a confidence. The way that you can tell that you're a trained warrior, there will be a peace and a joy in the midst of great difficulty in your life. If you're a trained warrior, there is a sense of peace and a joy, because that trained warrior knows if you give way to confusion and frustration and anxiety, you lose the battle. So a trained warrior has to know that they have to have peace and joy in the midst. That's why the Bible said through peace and joy, through believing. So a trained warrior is one that believes. But I'm calling you together. I want to give you some work for you. I want to complete what I've already started here just a few weeks ago. And then I want to add something to it, because this needs to be in your arsenal. It says, call out your best warriors. Let all your fighting men advance for the attack. Everybody say attack. See, a lot of people, you want to sit around and wait for the devil to attack you. You don't want the devil to attack you with the thing he attacks with. You don't want to sit around in your life waiting for cancer to attack you, waiting for division to attack you, waiting for problems to attack you. You don't want to sit around and wait. The Bible says you attack. You get aggressive in your life for the Lord. And you begin to lay siege against Satan's kingdom, where he's too busy trying to hold on to what he's got to fight you, honey. And to try to plan these strategies, because any great strategist knows that's the way you win. You must throw the enemy off guard. You've got to begin. So the way you do it, that's why the Lord is so wise in his direction. He says, advance. But these are the fighting men, trained soldiers. Then the next verse says, hammer your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. What that means is, even if you don't know what a weapon is, take what you got and use it as a weapon against the enemy. And a lot of people, you don't know. You're untrained in warfare, but you will come at this time. But it's no shame to be untrained. But it's a shame to stay untrained underneath the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is training each one of us to face the battles that we've been sized up to handle. And the Holy Spirit is faithful. He will not lead you in. Listen, somebody needs this. He will not lead you into a battle that God has not already determined that you can win. You've got to know that. You've got to put that in your heart. He will not lead you into a battle that he has not sized you up and sized him up and determined that you have the power to handle it. Amen. So the instructions here, it says to take what you have and make it a weapon. Somebody said, well, all I got is one little scripture. You take that one little scripture, man, you can fight hell with one little scripture. Amen. Somebody said, well, I only know one song. You take that song, honey, and you use it against the enemy. Somebody said, I remember back 3 years ago, I was happy for a day. Well, you take that one day and expand it out. and you use it to fight the enemy. Whatever you have, the Bible says, you make it into a weapon against the enemy. Then the next part of it says, train even your weaklings to be warriors. And I want to know, that's the job that God has taken on himself by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is no shame to be weak. It's just shame to stay weak. What weak means, I just haven't been trained enough yet. But if I was to allow the Holy Spirit will train me and strengthen me at the same time. I say great strength comes in great training. You hear what I'm telling you? There's a strength and there's a confidence and there's a faith that comes when you've been trained to fight that you can't get any other way. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to talk about how the warriors covered blood. We're going to use the blood. And because the blood of Jesus is the most powerful weapon that God could place in your hand. Now, there's other powerful weapons that God has given to us, a powerful weapon. Somebody hold up one of those weapons. It's called the Bible. Hold it up. Shake it in the face of the devil. Yeah, see, that's the powerful weapon of God. Praise and worship is a powerful weapon of God. Let me tell you, if you're skillful in the praise and worship. Praise and worship has about 50 different levels of it in the end as I get closer to, as God moves me into greater levels of his glory. There's about 50 that's listed biblically, 50 different Hebrew words that classify, and they're listed into order. There's seven that's major that every person, if you're going to be skillful in praise, if you're going to use praise to defeat the powers of the enemy, you've got to understand that praise is one of the most powerful weapons that God could place in your hand. And so there's certain, you got to give yourself, and there's about seven levels that's so important to get hold. The first one is called Todah praise. And that's the Hebrew word that's associated with Todah. And what that means is this. That's the first step of praise. The first step of praise has nothing to do with feeling. The first step of praise has everything to do with what I'm believing. God said, when you come in and that first note sounds, or wherever it is, and certainly praise is more than in a sanctuary. But at the first moment, there becomes out of your mouth and out of your expressions the declarations that you believe that God has promised you about your situation. Todah is a declaration. For praise be true, praise, this always starts with what I believe. I believe God's seeing me through. I believe God's going to take care of me. I believe God's going to help me. I believe God's going to heal me. I believe God's going to help me. Amen. See, the declaration, that's where praise starts. A lot of times we have that at the end. But if you're a warrior, if you're going to learn war, area, if you're going to be trained for war, you've got to understand that's where praise begins. No feeling. Feeling has nothing to do with Todah praise. It only has to do with what I believe. When you become so advanced in that, you say, well, what else could I do but praise God? Because I believe God's going to bring me through this. I believe God's going to heal me. I believe God's going to deliver me. I believe God's going to help me. So what else could I do but raise my hands and praise God for what he's bringing me through? That's the first level of warrior praise. Then it goes to the next level of praise is yada. And that's the Hebrew word yada. And that's when the Holy Spirit... See, a lot of people want God to move on them first. God said, I want you to do something first, and I'm going to come in and bless. And so it starts out with you. It starts out with what you believe. That's where praise always starts. If it's going to be biblical warfare praise, it starts out with what you believe. You're not waiting. Somebody says, oh, I don't like that tune. It has nothing to do with tunes, honey. When you become a warrior, it doesn't matter. You're not grumbling over the potatoes that you're fed at that meal. Give me something to give me some energy so I can fight this battle and so I can win for the glory of God. It has nothing to do with tunes. It has nothing to do with those kind of things. It has to do with everything in your heart. Can I be honest with you? Most praise services, I don't know what the songs are. God's got my own song for my own battles, and I'm too busy declaring what God's doing in my life. Amen. I don't wait for other people to put words in my mouth. My mouth is full of what God has already told me that he's going to do for me. That's where praise starts. And you got to build yourself into that point. You got to get yourself into the word. You got to shut off the television show that's so big now? True real life, not real life. What do they call them? Somebody help me. Reality. Yeah, those big words. I can't hear. But anyway, those reality shows. And you got to build yourself into reality. Reality is God. Reality is God can help me. Reality. And you got to build yourself into Scripture to where when you walk into the house of God, you can immediately begin to respond. Not what the long song leader said. Not what the preacher said. Has nothing to do with your place in God. The difference in Old Testament and New Testament is this. The Old Testament, there was one priest. And everybody had to go to that one priest, and that one priest would bring it before God. New Testament's different, honey. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. That means every person here, you're a priest before God. I don't care who's sitting around you. They can't stop God from helping you, bringing you through this, and seeing you through for the glory of God. Amen. So when you come in to worship God, then you're every man for himself. But every man for himself begins to gain strength. And what big strength begins to pull the strength. And before you know it, you're locked into another brother that's getting the same strength of power you're in. You locked into another sister that the same strength and the same power. And you locked into another one, same strength. And then you become a mighty army for the glory of God. Amen. So it's just wonderful what God by his Holy Spirit is doing. The second level of praise is yada. Yada, what is it? The Spirit of God begins to move on what I've been declaring. So I'm going to say again, many of you are waiting for God to move. God's waiting on you to declare something that you believe so he can move on. God breathes faith like you breathe air. Man, when you just like a dying man grasping for the breath, I tell you, when you begin to have faith in your declaration and faith coming out your mouth and faith in the way you look and the faith in your heart, when that begins to respond, man, God just sucked into that. He sucked into that vacuum. And so the next level of yada, you begin to experience it. The Holy Spirit begins to manifest it. And all of a sudden you begin to sense in the Spirit what you're declaring out your mouth. And you begin to say, oh, yes, God. It's no longer just a declaration. I can sense your Holy Spirit speaking that thing to me over and over again. And then you move into the third level. I'm only going to mention those three levels this morning. Move into that third level. And that third level, we would think, is give me a battle. Give me a sword. No, the third level is surrender. The third level of worship is always surrender. See, that's why in the worship services and praise services that we have, people will come to the altar and kneel at various times. Because see what it is, the Holy Spirit, when you have declared out your mouth and you've been declaring what God you believe in your heart, the Holy Spirit is sucked into there. The Holy Spirit comes on the scene and light begins to shine. And immediately you are able to know the areas of your life that need to be surrendered. And I tell you the truth, your experience stops there unless you surrender. It stops there. So you don't wait for Stephen Yar. You don't wait for him to say, well, it's time to come to the altar. You don't wait for pastor to give an altar call. You don't wait for any of that. Let me tell you, you're cued in with the Holy Spirit. You're your own priesthood. You're in a place with God. God deals with you, works in your heart. God's drawing you, building more in you. And that's why I love it. In the midst of praise, in the midst of preaching, sometimes people will just come. Because see what is, they moved into that third level of praise. And in that third level of praise, when you've been praising God and the Holy Spirit begins to manifest itself in you, the next step immediately is surrender. Oh, Lord, I'm going to surrender to your will. I'm going to surrender to your way. Yes, I'm going to surrender that you are my healer. I'm going to surrender that you are my deliverer. I'm tired of worrying this thing out in the flesh. I'm tired of worrying about this. I'm tired of trying to cure this thing myself. I'm fixing to surrender all of this to you, Jesus. I'm fixing to surrender to my Lord. Amen. And then you're well on your way to becoming a warrior of praise as we're moving through the next many, many levels there. But the Bible says, according talking about the blood, it says, then he said, this blood confirms the covenant that God's made with you. The first thing that you know about the blood, that blood is the thing that says, that gives you the right, or gives God the right to say yes to everything that he's promised you. If God's going to do anything mightily in your life, it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes. That's right. And that blood confirms whatever God's promised you. Somebody say, well, can somebody confirm that I'm healed? The blood's already confirmed it, honey. You want a stronger confirmation than that? You understand what I'm telling you? The blood confirms. It confirms every promise that God has ever given to you. Then Revelation 12:11, that wonderful verse we love, it says, they've conquered him. Talking about, how am I going to defeat this devil I'm fighting? I'm going to defeat him, the Bible says, through the blood of the Lamb. How am I going to defeat this devil? I'm going to defeat the devil two ways. Number one is what I believe about the blood of Jesus. I believe the blood of Jesus is strong enough to knock the devil out on the first round. How many believe that? Amen. And the second thing that gives me the victory, I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to declare it out in my praise service. I'm going to declare it out when I'm worshiping God. I'm going to declare it out when I'm talking to people. Not going to mealy mouth and try to fit in with the flow and say, well, I'm afraid God's going to leave me. I'm not going to mess around with those kind of things, because those kind of things becomes iniquity before God. And what you have to do, you have to begin to, the Bible says it comes by you going to win this battle that you're fighting with the devil. You're going to win it. Number one, by you believing the power of that blood of Jesus to defeat that lousy devil in your life. And then secondly, you're going to declare it out your mouth. That's the application of the blood. The application of the blood of Jesus against anything in your life, to shut any door in life, comes those two ways. Number one, I believe his blood. I believe in the power of his blood. I believe in his power, his blood to forgive. I believe in the power of his blood to heal. I believe in the power of his blood to deliver. I believe the power of his blood to help me. I believe there's power in the blood, because that blood made us right with God. See? And number two, that's what you're going to declare. You're going to begin to declare it. Unless you declare it, you're not applying it. See? It must become a declaration out your mouth of what you believe that blood is going to do on your behalf. You know, physical blood has a lot of similarities. In fact, that's why when Jesus said the life is in the blood, or when God said and his word in Old Testament said the life is in the blood, there's so many similarities there. Do you know antibodies that are built up? People that's faced, that's what we're talking about, seasoned warriors. That's why you want to get at least one seasoned warrior as your best friend, honey. So when you go to fall, they'll jerk you back up and drag you on into safety. You hear what I'm saying? You want to at least get one seasoned warrior. But what happens in a physical body is when somebody faces a disease or sickness, and God, like I said, the Lord's always preparing you. Even in physical body, it's a representation of what's happening spiritually. Physical body, a lesser disease or a lesser sickness fights you, and what builds up antibodies. Antibodies, but they're groups of cells that would defeat that same disease. In fact, they're called memory cells. They remember they've won this battle before. I'm going to tell you what, honey, there's nothing like being a seasoned warrior. I'm going to tell you, the blood of Jesus in you remembers that he's won this battle before. You hear? And when that blood of Jesus, when you begin to apply that blood over your life, there begins to flow in your spiritual life cells that remember. They remember Calvary, man. They remember. Now, I'm not talking about your blood now. I'm talking about the blood of Jesus. They remember. I've defeated that devil before, and I'm going to defeat him again. And all of a sudden, it draws into you all that needs to help and to win that battle for the glory of God. Can you say amen? I said, the Lord is just so wonderful, power. Well, I don't have time to preach to you. So let's Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Talking about the blood, the power of that blood. He said, he delivered us from the power of darkness. That blood has delivered us from the power of darkness. Everybody said, that blood hath delivered me. It doesn't matter what the devil. Let me tell you, as you begin to recognize in the next few weeks, the bondages that Satan's put in your life is not something that should get you discouraged. It should be something that you've just been waiting for the light of Jesus to shine on for the glory of God, because the blood has already delivered you from the darkness. Hallelujah. Amen. There's three major things that we need to put in our memory about the blood. Number one is the blood puts a protective wall around us. Need to remember that. And when you're praying, you need to face prayer. When you begin to fight the enemy, that's what you need to put in there. You need to remember that the blood of Jesus puts a protective wall. Because let me tell you what, the reason armor is on a soldier is to just keep him from dying. Because if he dies, the battle is lost. So what you've got to know is that there's a protective power that comes over your life through the power of that blood. The second thing is that that blood, you can use that blood of Jesus to close the door to the devil. Everybody say, I'm a gatekeeper. We fail to realize that the power of a gatekeeper. There are doors in your life that God has given you authority over. If you're a husband, God's given you a door of authority in your family. If you're a parent this morning, no, God's already given you a rightful authority over those children. If you're whatever form of leadership, whatever authority that you're in, God has given you a rightful place to shut that door to the devil. God has given you the rightful place to do that. And if you're going to be an effective warrior, you've got to know that God will empower me. Everybody say, God will empower me through his blood to shut the door. To shut the door. See, let me tell you, when a door is there, that means several things. When a door is there, that means I can shut the door to some things. I can open the door to other things. Now, I'm going to tell you, not only is the devil knocking on your door, Jesus said, I stand at your heart's door and I'm knocking too. So we have a power that comes through the power of the blood that I can close the door to the devil and I can turn around and open the door to the presence of God in my life and in my family for the glory of God. Do not let the devil tell you that he's got you pushed up in a corner and there's nothing you can do. I'm here to tell you, if it affects you, it affects God. And there's everything that God can do in your situation. God has put within you the power to shut the door to the devil. And God's given you the power to open the door to the presence of God in your life and in your family or whatever the sphere influence is. You got to recognize it though, but it's just like it's built in the Bible. There's two places it's built. The protective wall is come to us so dramatically out of the book of Job. And in the book of Job, it literally tells you, Job, I wish I had time. I don't have time. That I was able to do it in early service, but not having time in this service. But through the book of Job, you readily see the things that God has built a hedge and a wall around your life. And through the book of Job, you're able to see as Job. You can, people say, I don't understand the book of Job. Just accept the words it says. When Job himself told the reason that things went haywire in his life. And Job said, because the devil. Stay with me on scripture up there. I'm not going to be able to read them all, so I'm just going to be able to drop here. Go to Job chapter 1:5. Maybe this is important. So it was when the days of the feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them and would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings. When you see that word burnt offerings in the Bible, it's talking about the blood of Jesus. The way a burnt offering was done, the sacrificial animal was split, placed on the altar, and the blood was drained and blood was poured out at the altar. When you see that word burnt offering, it has to do with the blood. Coming across in the New Testament has to do with the blood of Jesus. Job chapter 1 verse 10, it says, have you not made a hedge around him? That was the enemy's explanation of what the blood would do. They said the blood will build a hedge and a wall around you. That was what the enemy, that's his explanation of what happened. He said it's, and then it's, in another version, it's listed as a wall of protection. You've always put, that's what the enemy's explanation is. You've always put a wall of protection around him because he was constantly standing on the blood. And you've made him, you've taken care of him, his home, his property. Amen. And see, it's God's will to build, show that picture of fortress. It's God's will for the Lord to build a mighty fortress that surrounds your life. And that is what the power of the blood is able to do. Amen. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5, God says that, said, then I myself, I love what he said, I love when God commits himself. He said, I myself will be a protective wall. Isn't that a powerful thing? That God said, I'll be a protective wall around you. What you've got to do, you've got to believe. Now, in Job's explanation of what happened to him was in Job chapter 16, verse 14, it says, You can say, you can try to give your remuneration, but why don't you just accept what the Bible says? Job says, Satan stabs me, making breach after breach, and attacking again and again. I don't know about you, but that's the way I found the devil to do in my life. There's a word in the New Testament Greek that describes that. It's the way the devil attacks you. The devil first comes in with a thought. But Job said, he stabs me over and over and over. Can be a simple thought. I don't guess things are ever going to work out. I'm not sure I can really trust in God. I better put some dependency on something else. You can tell how much you trust God, let me say, by the level of peace and joy. The fruit of the Spirit is a thermometer of where you are spiritually. So you can tell how much you trust God. It's easy to say, I trust God. But how much peace and joy you have in the midst of the storms you face tells you how much you trust God. That's why a seasoned warrior, they can set their eyes on the goal. They dig their feet into the truth. And they stand ready to fight to win. You hear what I'm telling you? So Job says what happened to him, that the devil, Satan, came to him and stabbed him time and time again. When the devil drops on and puts one thought of distrust in your heart, most believers will put it out of their mind. But when you get up every day and you fight and you have that same lie waiting for you before you ever open your eyes or you get your thoughts together, and the enemy says, you're not going to make it. You might die. God's not going to take care of you this time. Or however he camouflages his lies in so many different ways. And he makes his lies sound so right, so reasonable. With Job, it was the thought of fear. That's what he says. He says, the thing that I so greatly feared. So his was the thought of fear. I don't know what your thought may be. I don't know, it may be. But during the past years of the 44 years I've pastored this church, I've had so many people. A person's life just doesn't fall apart. There's been a series of things that's happened before it came to destruction. And usually, almost all of them can say, I remember when I had that thought. But I thought I'd never become that person. Thought I'd never do that. But I remember when it was a thought. The moment you no longer resist that thought. See, as long as this, Job said, Satan stabbed me. But then in chapter 3 he said, but I greatly feared. He accepted the fear as his. As long as you're resisting what the devil's telling you, you're a soldier on your heel, honey. And you're winning that battle. But when the enemy has stabbed you with that same thought over and over and over and over again, to where now it's become your fear. You have no peace over the kids anymore. You have no peace over your job anymore. You have no peace that you're going to be able to make it anymore. You have no peace that your family is going to be able to stay together anymore. What's happened is, it's become from Satan's. Now it's become yours. And when it's become your attitude and your view, it's opened the door to the enemy, and now it is becomes empowered by a demonic entity. And all of a sudden, even though it's not reasonable anymore, it's still you. Because that Satan has built a stronghold in your life. I'm going to tell you what, honey. Strongholds have to be attacked and captured and come down for the glory of God. So what does the enemy do? That word in the New Testament is he penetrates, or he assaults and assaults until finally penetration comes. It's a weird place to stop. But some of you know where the enemy's penetrated your life. Some of you right now, you know that you allowed your defenses to go down. And I'm here to tell you, bondage will grow. Now, this is a far extreme, but you got to understand, this is a far extreme example. Hitler didn't start out as the Hitler we remember. It's when he began to entertain the thoughts that he was better than others. And when that became his attitude of life, he became so empowered by the enemy, it literally brought joy to him to the death of the millions of Jews that he killed. I'm here to tell you, bondages don't stop, man. They'll grab you, then they won't quit till they grab her, and then they won't quit till they grab them. Headed for destruction. But we can break it. We can break it. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I'm just trying to tell you, God can give you a song in the midst of your battle. And God can give you peace in the midst of your storm. And how do we fight our battles? Man, we put two hands toward heaven and we say, God, we're trusting you. In fact, that's what the book of Psalms says. The Bible says that God gives you a song in the midst of your darkness. Because you know what a song does? It throws the devil completely off course. That's why the instructions that we just read when we first started off say, train your weak ones. What it was, it says attack. Some of you are just going to stay weak and let the devil attack you. Then you're going to try to get strong when you get attacked. That's a hard way to do it. That's a hard way to do it. So what God's telling you to do, throw the devil completely off course in your life. When he's thinking he's got you depressed, you say, Lord, give me a song. Give me a song, Lord. Give me a song in my darkness. God gonna see me through. 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 And you know, the wonderful thing about it is, God said, make a joyful, what? What did he say? God said, make a joyful noise. Because to God is not noise. When you stand and worship God and let him give you a song in the midst of your darkness, to God in heaven, I think it even becomes brighter for the glory of God as angels stand up and look over at you as God says, he's going to teach you how to fight. Watch him. He'll show you how to do it. He'll show you how to win. He'll show you how to overcome. Amen. And then when the devil gets the storm so raging, that's it. Where's Sam at? Oh, you know where he is. He's down there on that pillow. I love the way God said that about Jesus. He said when the storm was raging, Jesus was asleep on the pillow. I mean, God is just so wonderful how he said that. He could have said, well, he cried himself to sleep. Or he could have said, you know, but he said he went to sleep on a pillow. Because he's got peace in the storm, 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 peace in the storm. We're going to close with three different ways real quick here. Why don't you stand with me real quickly here? If you wait, not everybody, so step back down. Wrong instruction. Thank you, Brother Ernest, for heading that up. For leading the whole ship into mutiny. Thank you, brother. No, I'm joking. I want you, if you know that the enemy has penetrated you, say, Jerry, I know I've let my resistance down, and I know the enemy's penetrating my mind, but I want to reclaim it. I want to reclaim it. I want to reclaim the purity in my mind. I want to reclaim the victory in my mind. I want to reclaim it. I want you to stand with me very, very quickly if that's you. If you say, I've lied, that the enemy has penetrated me. The enemy has penetrated me. Now I want anybody here that needs to for the Lord. The Holy Spirit, God said that he would confirm his word with signs following. So if you need peace in the midst of your storm, you say, Jerry, I don't have peace. I want you to stand with these that are standing. If you need peace. Need peace in the midst of the other group is if you need a song in the midst of your night. If you need a song in the midst of your night. Oh, come Holy Spirit. Come powerful God. Come Holy Spirit. Oh God, come. Come. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, come. Oh, Spirit of God, come. Now, he's going to come right to you. He's not going to come through me. He's going to come right to you. You're the priest. You're your priesthood of the believer. You're your own priest before the Lord. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Now, you that need to reclaim what the devil's tried to take away from you when he's penetrated you. I want you just right now, I want you to surrender it to the Lord. I want you to say, God, I'm surrendering it to you. I'm surrendering these thoughts that the enemy has penetrated me with. I surrender them to you, God. I surrender, because that was what Job told us to do when there becomes a hole in the gap. He says, the first place that starts is repentance. So you surrender it to the Lord. You go right ahead and surrender it to the Lord. Surrender it to the Lord. Now reach up and grab it. Just grab it. Reclaim it. Reclaim it. Some way. Reclaim it. Reclaim, reclaim, reclaim that peace. And reclaim that sanity in your mind. Somebody shout, I'm clear again. Somebody shout it, I'm clear again. 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 Let me tell you, the grace of God is a big eraser. It erases what the devil has previously written on the minds and our hearts. Somebody say, erase it, oh God. Erase it, oh God. Erase it. Now, someone here, literally saw your mind being erased by God? Don't you raise your hand if that's you. You literally saw that. You could see that. Yes, yes, all right. Other, yes, 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 yes. You literally saw that. Whether you see it or not, God does it. But it's just good to see things in the Spirit. It's good to see that you saw the Lord just erase it. All right, now peace. Let's go. Lord, we need peace in the storm. We need peace in the storm, Lord. We receive your grace now. We receive your grace, Lord. I want you to take a deep breath in. I want you to just breathe in God's peace. Won't you just breathe in God's peace? Won't you just breathe in God's peace? Breathe in the breath of God, the same breath of God that was breathing into people's lives at the very beginning is still breathing into people's lives today. The same breather is still breathing. Breathe in. Go ahead and just breathe in the peace. Now just tell the Lord, I'm going to refuse to worry. I'm going to refuse to doubt. I'm going to refuse what the devil wants me to think. I'm going to refuse all that. I'm going to shut the door. I'm going to shut the door through the power of the blood. I'm going to shut the door to the devil. I'm going to shut the door to the devil, Lord, and I'm just going to receive. Praise God. Now let's get the song, if you need the song. Lord, give us a song in the night. Give us a song for the darkness, Lord. Give us a song for the darkness, Lord. Give us a song for the darkness, oh Lord. Come on, bring up songs. That's Islam. Come on. Bring a song in the darkness, Lord. Bring me a song for the darkness. Remember, Lord, this is joyful noise. This is what God does to me. Bring a song, Lord, in the darkness, Lord. Song in the darkness, Lord. Bring a song. Bring a song in the darkness, Lord. I'm gonna make it. Some word of victory. Raise your hand. The Lord put some word of victory in your heart. You can put it to a in your old tune that comes up in your heart. Because the tune is not what impresses God. It's the faith of the word that you sing against the darkness. It's what it is. When he hears the noise again. Well, Lord, it's been good to be in your presence this morning. And will you say thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for your preciousness. Thank you, Lord, that you've loved us and you've caressed us and you've moved in closer to our lives, Lord. Thank you for letting us, Lord, draw closer to you this morning. Lord, may we ever retain it. May we ever retain the power of your blood. Somebody say, I have the power of the blood that protects me. Say it loud. That protects me. I have the power of the blood that I can shut the door on the devil. And I have the power of the blood that I can open the door to God. In Jesus' name. Now give the Lord a celebrated clap. God bless you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord today. Love you.